In other words, we'd say, how to save your soul. The Spirit saved, and when we receive Jesus Christ as salvation, but the saving of the soul is a process that goes on from the time you're saved till the time you're with Christ. And so we're going to talk about that today, how to save your soul, how to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbors, yourself. We'll talk about that. How do you keep a close relationship with Christ? Life's not about places or things, but it's about a relationship to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Some Christians think the Christian life is a relationship to the church, but it's actually a relationship to a person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people take the church as their salvation, and it's really not. Salvation is not a place, as I said, it's a relationship with a person, and that's Christ himself, not only here, but also in eternity. We'll be living with Jesus Christ in eternity, and now we're getting to know his word, and we're beginning to know his mind in the word of God. And then the second thing, it's also a relationship with the people of God. And some people get the first part, but they don't get the second. Some people get the second, they don't get the first. I grew up in a church where they had great relationship with the people. I mean, it was wonderful. It was just one big happy family, but they've seldom talked about Jesus. Now, it is important to have a relationship with the people of God because that's part of this process, but it's certainly important to have a relationship with Christ. We are to love his people. The Bible said something else. We are to love ourselves. Now, some people have a problem with that one, and it's very, very important to love yourself. In order to love yourself, you have to forgive yourself. Some people can't forgive themselves. They keep talking about past things they did and just keep going over it and over it and over it and over it again. And what happens with that is you're not going to progress in the Lord. You're not going to grow in the Lord because you're back there in the past someplace, which you can't change. You can only forgive it and move on. God forgives our sins. Who are we not to forgive our sins? We're going to talk about that as we go along. Now, the problem is when you get saved, when you come to Christ, your mind, will, and emotions aren't saved. Your mind, will, and emotions are the same they were before you were saved. So then begins a process of changing in your mind, will, and emotions to the ways of God from the ways before salvation. And some people don't understand that process. They mix the whole thing up and they don't understand the Christian life. The Christian life is basically the process of saving your soul. Salvation is the process of saving your spirit. That's done instantly. But the process of maturing and saving your soul takes a lifetime. So that's what it's about. If you live 50 years, you got 50 years to have your soul saved, if you put it that way. And the more your soul is saved or mature in the Lord, the more rewards you'll have when you get to be with Jesus. So there's a lot of reasons to understand this and a lot of reasons to do it. Now, the point is, as of this day, let the process begin. If you haven't... Some people don't progress past receiving Christ. They don't understand this rest of the process. Or they think, because I messed up today, then I've lost my salvation. That's not true. Well, we're not talking about salvation there. We're talking about of the spirit. We're talking about of the soul. Now, tonight I'm going to talk about how secure is our salvation. I'm going to show you in the Bible what it says about that subject. But that's another thing. Now, if you knew you were going to die tonight at midnight, places and things wouldn't have much value. I guarantee you that. The only thing that would have any value would be your relationship to the Lord and your relationship to your loved ones. You'd want to spend your remaining time, if you only had that many hours, you'd want to spend that remaining time with those you love here on the earth. That's what you would do. Your house wouldn't make any difference. What you own wouldn't make any difference. None of those things will make any difference. And the issue is, in this life, we want to get closer and closer and closer to Christ so that these other things are not going to be as important as they were before you received Christ. Now, we're going to talk about how to keep this relationship strong in Jesus Christ so we can grow. I'm going to talk about the three biggest things that keeps us from growing in our soul. I'm going to talk about those things. These three things will inhibit the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And these are categories. They're not really anything other than that. And I'm going to talk about these three things next couple of Sundays. Sin, unbelief, and disobedience. Sin, unbelief, and disobedience. Some places today don't want to talk about sin. They don't want to talk about these things, and therefore, even though their people might be saved, their people are not growing in the Lord. Now, I'm interested in having people grow in the Lord. That's primarily what my ministry is. We want to see people saved. We see people saved. We baptize people. But the issue is, I want to see you grow in the Lord, stand before Jesus, not be ashamed, and receive rewards and responsibility in the kingdom of God. That's what we're talking about here. But right now, we're not talking about the kingdom. We're talking about the race. Now, so I'm going to talk about these three things. And how they're hindrances to you. Now, some people don't like to talk about sin. I'm not going to mention anybody's sin, so don't worry about it. Now, here's the way this whole sin thing works. Back when Israel was in the wilderness, God didn't want them to be like the nations. They were supposed to be like His special people. So in order to do that, he gave them 10 commandments. Now, these 10 commandments are categories of sin. But the way the thing works, if you want to know what they are, we'll turn to them real quick. Exodus chapter 20. Now, I want to show you something about these things. Exodus chapter 20. You can take these 10 commandments in two different ways. And I'm going to show you how you can do that. Now, you can use them as a guideline to be like Christ, or you can understand that if you break these, you're going to go back in, you're going to have darkness come in your life. That's the issue. Now, God spoke all these words saying, Exodus chapter 20, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I took you out of the world. I took you out of a lost condition. That's what he said. And I brought you out of the house of bondage because you were in bondage to sin before you were saved. So was I. Now, he goes on to say, you shall have no other gods before me. You'll not make any graven image, verse 4. Verse 5, you'll not bow down to any of these gods. This is important. He said, now listen to me, you shall have no other gods before me. How do you have other gods before God? By breaking the Ten Commandments. I'm going to show you exactly how this works. All right. He said, don't bow down to anything but Christ. Verse 60 said, God shows mercy unto thousands of them that love Him and keep His commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, and so on. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, we'll start with that one right there. Verse 8. Now, God knew that if you didn't gather with his people, whenever your people gather, in our case it's Sundays and Wednesdays, if you don't gather with your people, you're going to be gathering with somebody else. Are you listening? You're going to be gathering with somebody else, and you're going to be taking in things that will hinder your Christian life. That's what God is saying. Somebody said, well, I don't understand why you have to go to church. Because you're going to take in the things of God. That's where you take in the things of God, as well as on a daily basis, and so on. If you don't go to church on a consistent basis, you're going to take in things of the world. You're going to allow darkness to come in your life instead of the light of God. Now, let's go on. It says, let's go down to verse 12. Honor your father and your mother that you may live long in the land. Now, God, that's a principle of God. We are to honor our father and mother as long as they're in the land. Now, I understand some people had abusive fathers and mothers and all that stuff. So what you do is you find something good they did, because everybody's did something good, if nothing else, feed you and clothe you, and you thank them and honor them for that. You don't thank them for the bad stuff. You honor them for the good stuff. Because if you don't honor them, then other things can come into your life. Look in verse 13. Thou shalt not murder is really what that means. It says thou shalt not kill. It means thou shalt not murder. So what he says is, if you murder somebody, darkness is going to come in your life, as well as the punishment of it. But darkness is going to come in your life. It's going to hinder your life from moving on and growing in the Lord. So instead of murdering people, we should be loving people, you see. If you love people, the light of God comes in your life. If you murder somebody, and you can do that by gossip, by speaking behind their back, not only just stabbing somebody or shooting somebody. Gossip is one of the worst things. Hate somebody, that kind of stuff. That's murdering people, according to Jesus. And what that does is it allows darkness to come in your life. Now, if you consistently do that, it'll allow demonic spirits to come into your life with the same name as what you're doing. There are spirits of gossip, spirits of murder, spirits of hatred, spirits of all of these. There's all of these spirits, and God didn't want these spirits to come into your life, you see. He wanted you to be blessed. So instead of murdering people, find something to love people about, you see. I don't care who it is. Love something in their life. Now you go on. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, obvious, God is for marriage, obviously. Jesus was at the marriage of Cana of Galilee. It talks about marriage in the Bible, gives you all kinds of information. And the point is, one man, one woman at a time. That's really what it means. And the issue is, if you get involved with somebody else, you're going to allow demonic spirits of adultery to come into your life. You're going to allow soul ties to come into your life. You can allow sexual diseases to come into your life. God didn't want that to happen. So he said, love your wife, love your husband, and don't have any other relationship. He did that for our own good, and so on. Then he goes on, thou shalt not steal. Instead of stealing, we should be giving to people. Are you listening? Instead of taking from people, we should be giving to people. Now, that's the issue. We're supposed to be doing the good side of this. Not worry about stealing, but be concerned about giving. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Instead of talking to people behind their back and gossiping about people, we should be blessing people and encouraging people and building people up. You see, you did all that other stuff before you got saved. Now, let's be honest about it. Now, then it goes on, don't covet your neighbor's stuff. When the commercials on TV come on, go to something else, because they're trying to sell you something. You're going to covet something. You know, the issue is, instead of coveting, give things away. Are you listening to me? Now, here's the issue. I don't mean if you steal something one time, some demonic spirit's going to come in your life. But I'm going to tell you this. If you have a lifestyle of stealing, the spirit of stealing will come into your life. And if you have a habit of adultery and that kind of stuff, spirits of adultery and sexual spirits and perversion and pornography and all that stuff will come into your life. God didn't want that to happen. I didn't say if you did it one time. I said if you do it over a period of time, I guarantee spirits of darkness will come in. God said, I don't want you people in the wilderness to be like the nations. I don't want you to have many gods. I want you to have one God, and that's me. And then he said, don't do this other stuff, because if you do, spirits are going to come in. Now, here's what happens to people. I'm talking about even Christians. They have some little sin they don't want to give up, so they keep this thing going, Spirits come in, and pretty soon when the spirits come into your life, they're going to get you to believe that's a normal way to be. They're going to get you to believe that's a normal way to be. Everybody does this stuff. You just don't hear about it. Other people do this stuff. And so spirits will cause you to believe the abnormal is normal. That's what they do, because they want to live with you. And so they're going to get you to believe that whatever you're doing, which is every category of sin imaginable, is in the Ten Commandments. You could put them all under one of those headings. And the issue is, he wants you to sin so you think it's normal. That's exactly what the devil did to Eve in the garden. She said, God's holding something good back from you, so it's okay to do this. God said, don't do it, because when you do, darkness is going to come into your life. And that's exactly what happened. So there's a lot of reasons not to do this stuff everybody else is doing. I don't care if you think they're getting away with it or not, because nobody gets away with anything eventually. Are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you. This guy that stole all that money from all those people, ran the Ponzi scheme, he eventually got caught. But if you don't get caught there, you're going to get caught later, if you know what I mean. Nobody gets away with anything. You do not ever get away with sin whatsoever, because it will cause some kind of a problem in your life. And even if it doesn't happen to you, it'll come upon your kids. You see it all the time. Somebody says, like father, like son. You know. Abraham was a liar. Isaac was a liar. Jacob's lifestyle was a liar. You got the picture. You never get away with anything. Somebody's going to pay for it, you see. Now, that will hinder you from your soul being saved, as we talk about here. It'll hinder you from getting rewards in heaven. It's going to do all these things. If you break any of these Ten Commandments, they are a doorway to demons. Now, we can say, that door over there is God, and this door over here is the devil, and you decide which door you're going to open. You have the right to choose. You can do wrong if you want to. So if I start stealing and I make that a lifestyle, I might as well just go over here to the devil and say, come on in. But if I'm doing the things of God and I'm staying in the Word of God and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I open the door and say, God, come into my life, hallelujah. Everybody has that choice. Now, what demons do, they make you think it's normal. We got a bunch of people in Washington, D.C. that think sin is normal. It doesn't bother them one bit. They don't have a problem taking your money, taking anything else they have. They don't care. Because they have a lifestyle of stealing from the people. And it doesn't bother them at all. They think it's normal. That's just what politicians do. I'm going to get in there and I'll be in Congress forever and I'll be able to get everything I can get. Instead of going in there, I'm going to serve the people. I'm going to do the best for them. Somewhere this thing got lost. They opened the wrong door. Are you listening to me? I'm not saying all of them. There's some good Christian people in Congress that are trying to do the right thing. But unfortunately, the bad gravitate to the top. Unfortunately. Now the issue is, we can be in the same condition. Now, you say, well, I don't understand. We pray for people to be healed. We pray for all this stuff. You know what hinders the things of God? Sin. Are you listening to me? God sometimes just heals somebody anyway, but that's the way it is. God has set a pattern for us, and he tells us he's willing to forgive our sin. But the issue is, we're not only to ask him to forgive our sins, we are to turn from our sin. We are to leave that sin. Because if we hang on to it, yes, he'll forgive us 70 times 7. Yes, he'll keep forgiving us. But this demonic spirit is still there unless we forsake that sin. Are you listening to me? That's why God, somebody says, I don't understand why God knew we couldn't follow these things. And yes, he knew we weren't going to follow the Ten Commandments 100%. But he also knew when we didn't, we were going to deal with things in our life, and we were to come to him, 1 John 1:9, confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants us clean, you see. And when we were clean, then we can open the door to God. He'll begin to work, do what he wants to do in our life. Now, I want to show you some things about this. Matthew 6 and verse 14. You say, well, I didn't come to hear about sin. Well, okay, Matthew 6 and verse 14. All right, here's what it says. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So you have to forgive. This is another thing about the past. You have to forgive what people did in the past. I don't care who it was, what they did, anything else. You have to forgive them. That's our responsibility as Christians, is to forgive them. I don't care how bad it was. No sense naming all that stuff. Some people go through more than others. But the issue is, we're forgive them, number one. That's very important, because it says if we don't forgive other people their sins, God's not going to forgive us. I'm not talking about for eternity. I'm talking about now. I'm talking about now. And so forth. Now, if you hold unforgiveness towards others, then you're going to allow spirit of unforgiveness to come into your life. Every sin has a demonic component. Not if you do it one time, necessarily, but if you have a lifestyle of it, you're in big trouble. Because there are demonic spirits for every single sin that's ever committed by anybody. And if you continue to do it, those things will come into your life, hinder your Christian growth, and you're going to be ashamed when you stand before the Lord. I didn't say you'd lose your salvation. I said you're going to be ashamed when you stand before the Lord. You're going to lose rewards in heaven. There's going to be a big problem just because you wouldn't give up some little sin in your life. Now, you don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Be concerned about what you're doing. Don't worry about what somebody else is getting away with. They're not getting away from it with anything. Now, I want you to look at an interesting story in the scriptures, Matthew 18 and verse 23. I've talked about this before, but this thing about unforgiveness is a terrible thing. Matthew 18 and verse 23. All right. Now, it says, therefore, in the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king who would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him, owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. We'll call it $1 million. But forasmuch he had nothing which to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, forgave him the debt. That's talking about Jesus Christ forgiving your sin. Okay? Christ is willing to do it. He wants to do it. But the issue is, if he forgives your sin, you got to forgive other people their sins. It's very simple. Now, here's what it says. But the same servant who was just been forgiven went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, we'll say $1,000. He laid hands on him, took him by the throat, and saying, pay me what you owe. His fellow servant fell down on his feet, besought him, saying, just exactly what he did, have patience with me, I'll pay you all. And he would not do it, but went and cast him into prison till he'd pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were sorry and came and told the Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you sought me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant, even if I had pity on thee? And the Lord was angry, delivered him to the inquisitors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise your heavenly Father do also to you if from your hearts you forgive not everyone his brother, his trespass. And the inquisitors are demonic spirits. The inquisitors are demonic spirits. If you don't forgive somebody else and keep having unforgiveness in your life, God will allow demonic spirits to come into your life and deceive you and hinder your growing in the Lord. That's the point that I'm making here. Now, it's important if you're going to grow in the Lord, it's important because if you don't, spirits will deceive you into thinking you're okay. You go to church, there's nothing else you need to do. They will convince you of all kinds of things because they have the ability to do it. And if you do not keep your life clean before the Lord, those spirits have a right to come in. And you wonder sometimes, how can Christians do what they do? You wonder how they can do it. I can tell you how they can do it. They have given themselves over to breaking some of these commandments, and they have done it habitually, and spirits came in, and the spirits convinced them that they were going to get away with or what they were doing was okay. Now the problem is, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to determine what we did from the time we were saved till the time we're with the Lord. And he's going to judge that. Now, I love to talk about the love of God. Some churches, that's all they do. But every once in a while, you have to say, God is also the perfect judge. Are you listening to me? He loves you. He will do what he says in his word. If he says you're saved, you're saved. But he's also, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he is going to evaluate what you did, what you talked about on the telephone to one of your friends, what you said about somebody in the church, what you judged about this one and that one, and that kind of thing. So, I'm telling you these things just to tell you that you don't have to be involved in that. you can follow the use the Ten Commandments in a positive way in Christ, and you will be blessed. You have the choice. We have a choice. Maybe this isn't a pleasant subject, but it needs to be taught. I'm talking about how to run the race of God so we can get to the kingdom. We're going to be blessed. It's just that simple. I want you to be blessed. So sin is breaking the laws of God, which he put there, knowing that if you broke them, demonic spirits could come in just like any other nation. In other words, you can get a hardened heart, and you can be just like some of these people who want to take everything you have. I mean, even though you're a Christian. Some Christians don't have any problem of just doing unbelievable things to other people. And why do they do that? Because somewhere along the line, they opened the door to demonic spirits that convinced them that these things were okay. And one of the things they convince you is that whatever you do is right, and you get full of pride and all this kind of thing. I thought it was so interesting. You know this story that happened a little while back where this police officer was called to this professor's house? Everybody heard that story? Very interesting story. And what happened was that they found out that it wasn't actually a break-in, but it was really the guy's house. He broke into his own house. Well, the police officer didn't know it was his house. And so when he found out anyway, a big thing evolved and a big mess, and the president even got involved. But anyway, I read an article from a guy named Alan Keyes. How many ever heard of him? He's a very interesting fellow. And he said the problem was that this professor was a narcissist. And what's that mean? Basically full of himself. Thought he was better than everybody else. And that kind of thing. And therefore, a big national mess came out of that that wasn't even necessary. Keyes said what the professor should have done was thank the officer for doing his job, you see. It had nothing to do really with race unless somebody made it that way, you see. And so the thing was, he should have thanked the officer for doing his job, which he did, and thanked him for protecting his neighborhood, you see. Instead of that, how dare you arrest me and all this kind of stuff. And the problem with a lot of Christians is, and have problems in churches, is because they're full of themselves instead of God. You see, that's the problem. Everything revolves around me instead of revolving around the Lord. There's way too much of that in Christian churches. I'm not talking about this one. Or we'll have another incident that might make the news. Well, anyway, the issue is we're not supposed to be full of ourselves. We're supposed to be full of Jesus. And if you're full of Jesus, the Ten Commandments aren't going to be a problem. You're going to love them. Are you listening to me? Instead of taking them as bondage, oh my, I guess I got to follow all these rules. You see, that's not the issue. Become those things and you'll be blessed. You see, that's the issue. Now, we got some prayers here that somebody can pray if they want to. What we need to do is pray something like this. Father, I've sinned. I confess the sins of, and you name the sins. I repent and turn from this. Forgive me of this sin. I choose to forgive those who've sinned against me, Father. I choose to forgive and name the person who sinned against you. What they did was sin. Take this sin from them and place it on the cross of Christ. You need to be praying for those that have sinned against you. And ask the Lord to forgive them. And you forgive them. And your life's going to be a whole lot better. and give them the power, God, to not do that. And to take that sin and place it on the cross of Jesus. And on the day of judgment, don't hold that sin against them. We should be praying that people are going to be blessed all the time that harm us and hurt us, because they need Christ. And we need to pray they get saved, pray they get cleaned up in their life. Use a hurt against you to bless somebody, you see. And that's the way Christ does this. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Bless them, Father. Forgive them, Father. Show them the truth. Jesus wanted those that put him on the cross to be saved forever. You see. And how can we be any different? You see. If we're going to be like Christ, we're going to be the same way. Even the people in Washington, pray for them. Pray they'll see the truth. Pray they'll that they'll come to Christ. Pray they'll be blessed. Pray they. We want to pray wisdom on them in the name of Jesus. Draw them to Christ that they'll be saved. Pray for our nation, you see. And free them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ from those bondages, you see. And then if you're praying a prayer, say, God, restore me back to the things of God. Restore me. Give me the power not to let this little sin dominate my life. Yes. Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of people, they go to church and they think, well, I went to church, so I'm okay. And they don't think it's wrong, particularly, to gossip and to hurt and to injure people and do all this kind of stuff. Because they go to church, they think they're okay. Well, the issue is that we're supposed to be growing in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be becoming like Jesus on this earth. And if we're going to come like Jesus on this earth, we have to be like him. Now, the only ones that people that Jesus really got upset with were people that were leading other people into the ditch. He got upset with those people. People that was leading somebody else to open the wrong door. People that was leading somebody else away from God, and so they wouldn't be saved. He got upset with those people. But that's really the only ones he did. And it's very interesting. Now, I wanted to mention something. I hate to get started on this, but I want to talk about the second thing today, and that's unbelief. Now, the first one was sin, just plain breaking the laws of God. We need to confess that sin and turn from that sin and then start allowing the righteousness of God to work in our life. We're not talking about salvation here of the spirit. We're talking of the soul. Now, so somebody says, well, I've always been that way. Well, change in Jesus' name. You know, some people grew up in families that did all kinds of stuff that wasn't pleasing to God. And you may have done it before, but ask God to help you change now, you see. Don't be like that the rest of your life. Don't be like they were. Change. Ask God to help you change. If you have a problem with lying, ask God to confess it. Ask God to help you with it, and He will. It's just that simple. God wants us to get cleaned up so that He can work through us to this lost world. That's the whole issue. He wants us to get cleaned up. He cannot use dirty vessels. Period. Oh, He might use you in one thing here, one thing there, but just because God used it doesn't mean you're clean. We need to continually be clean before the Lord. Continually allow the Holy Spirit to clean us up, you see. And then, I just give you a little hint on this unbelief thing, and I'll do this next time. But it's very interesting the way the devil worked with Eve in the garden. It is tremendously important you understand what he did. Number one, he said, has God said? He wanted her to feel insecure. He wanted her to feel like God didn't have her best interest at heart. And so he said, has God said? Now that's what the enemy does here today. We have a little problem in our life. The enemy comes in and said, God doesn't have you in his best interest. You're not secure in the Lord. Do you know, we actually have churches that teach the doctrine of the devil. They teach the same thing that Satan told Eve. You're not secure in the Lord. How can you believe what God says? Look at everything he's holding back from you. All this good stuff. You know, look at those commandments. God doesn't want you to do anything. God wants you to just be bored all the rest of your life. Nobody has said that sin isn't fun for a season. It is. You can enjoy it for a while. No problem. So he wanted her to be insecure. So what do you have? You have churches that teach that you're insecure in Christ and you better shape up. And if you don't have it 100% together, God's not going to love you. You see. Same thing. And so you get into unbelief. You quit believing what God says. And that's exactly what he did. Now the second thing he did, he made her feel inferior as a person. He said, you're not worth some of the things of God, so he's holding some of these things back from you. He's holding back the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because you're just a kind of a second-class Christian and that kind of thing. You ever come to church and feel inferior to somebody else? And the old devil come along and say, you're not good at Christians, that person. God doesn't love you as much as he loves that person. That's all a bunch of lies of the devil. It's lies of the devil. And what he gets us into unbelief, we quit believing the word of God. We said, well, healing's for everybody but me. You know, blessing is for everybody but me. And God loves that person more because they have more than I do, and he must love that person more than me, and all this kind of thing. And God gave that person this gift, and he didn't give that to me. And so what Satan wants to do is to make you lose your confidence in the Word of God. And that's what he does. He leads you to feel insecure in Christ. And secondly, he leads you to feel inferior to the things of God. I'm just quite not good enough, and God's not going to give me as much as he gave somebody else, and I'm not going to be as spiritual as so-and-so. And what you end up doing is comparing yourself to everybody else. And God, one of the things in the Word of God, He says, never compare yourself to anyone else. Because God has made you different. We're all unique. There's no two people alike. He doesn't give everybody the same gifts. He knows exactly what He has for you. He has a plan for you He doesn't have for the other person. And so this thing, He gets you into unbelief. Now, I want you to look in Romans 12:3. I'm just going to run into this. Excuse me, I'm just going to go over a hair here. But I want to do this. Romans 12:3. Now, you ought to underline this because this is very important. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given to me to every man, means woman also, that is among you, not to think of himself or herself more highly than he or she ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to, I'm going to put it this way, every person, that's you, the measure of faith. God's an equal opportunity employer. He gives you exactly what He wants you to do, and He doesn't expect you to do more or less. He just wants you to do what He has asked you to do. It doesn't make any difference what gift somebody else has. If we were all the same, it would be the most boring thing you ever saw in your life. God made us different. Different temperaments, different personalities, different gifts, different everything. Everybody has a part in the body of Christ. When you use your part, then the body of Christ becomes whole. If you don't use your part, then there's a part missing in the body of Christ. We are called the bride of Christ. All together, collectively, we are one in Jesus Christ. Everybody has a part. There's a hand, there's the feet, there's the nose, there's the ear, there's whatever. They don't look the same. How can an ear compare to my hand? You see what I'm saying? Never compare yourself to somebody else. Use the gifts you have to the fullest extent that you have, because He's given everyone a measure of faith. Are you listening to me? Yes, He's given some 10 measures and some 3 and some 2, but He will reward you accordingly, and the one that has 2 can have just as many rewards as the one that has 10, because if they use what they have to the fullest. Don't compare your looks, don't compare your anything to anybody else. Be what God wants you to be. Now, look in Hebrews 11:6. I'll go through this quickly. But this is so important. If you want to grow in the Lord, please listen to what I'm teaching. Now, Hebrews 11:6. And this says, we've saw it many times, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that what? That what? Diligently seek Him. That's anybody can do it. Anybody can diligently seek the Lord. Now, if you're not diligently seeking Him, that's your fault. But we are to seek the Lord diligently. It's applying the Word of God to your life on a daily basis. Anybody can do it. Be in the Word of God. Pray before the Lord. Speak to God. Talk to Him. It's studying and learning the plan of God for your life, not somebody else's life, your life. And it's taking your life on the promises of God. Putting yourself under the authority of God to do what He's called you to do. If you have a company that's a manufacturing company, you got people doing all kinds of things. Somebody's got to be in the office. Somebody's got to be out in the shop. Somebody's got to be in shipping and receiving. How ridiculous to compare, if you're in shipping and receiving, doing your job to the fullest, to compare yourself to somebody in the office that's running a computer. It doesn't. It's not the same. It's different. It's not your responsibility to be in the office. It's your responsibility to do the best you can where God's placed you. And believe in the promises of God for you in the place that He has you. Satan filled her with unbelief. He said, you know, God's holding something back from you. God didn't give you the same as somebody else. No, He didn't, and He didn't plan on it. I'm supposed to do what I'm called to do. I'm not supposed to do anything else. What Satan's trying to do is get you to be insecure and keep looking around all the time for things to do when God's got it right there where you're supposed to be doing what you're doing and do the best job you possibly can. Whether it's running a family, whether it's taking care of kids, whether it's working somewhere, wherever it is, you be the best you can be in Jesus Christ and pray every day that you will be to give you the wisdom to do the job. And that's what it is. And when everybody's doing that, you can joyfully come on Sunday morning and praise God because you're doing what God's called you to do and you don't have to do what somebody else is supposed to be doing. You see, that's the issue. How can you be discouraged? The only way you'd be discouraged if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing and you're not diligently seeking Jesus Christ. You're not supposed to be like somebody else. You're supposed to be who you can be in Christ. Do I hear an amen? Amen. You see, that's so important because Satan gets you to compare yourself to somebody else, and God said, don't do it. Compare yourself to what I've called you to do. Period. Everybody has different abilities. Here's a prayer. Father, I have not applied the faith you have given me. I've allowed doubt and unbelief to enter in. I confess this is sin. Choose to turn back to you. Forgive me this sin in Jesus' name. I'll guarantee you when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, He's not going to ask you if you did what somebody else did. Not going to ask you that. Just going to be what you're doing. He's not going to bring somebody else into the equation. What did you do with what He gave you in this life as a Christian? That's what He's going to ask you. What somebody else is doing is not important as far as that's concerned. Now, we ought to be encouraging each other to do where we know we are gifted. That's one of the things we're doing in the body of Christ. Man, you have such a gift there to play the guitar. Man, I'm praying that God's going to bless you with all the ability that you will be the best you can be at what He's called you to do. Are you listening to me? If you're running a sound booth back there, God bless you. God, do it to the Lord. Do it all to the Lord. If you're teaching a class, if you're worshiping God, whatever you're doing, God's called you to do. If you're writing books about Jesus, there are probably in here authors and politicians that would be, do it for Jesus. There's so many abilities here, just in this place, and we ought to be encouraging each other in it, you see. You're doing a great job. Just keep it up. I'm praying for you, hallelujah. Anything I can do to help you in what you're doing. You see, that's the way it works. Never compare yourself to somebody else. I don't care who it is, a brother or sister, or a brother or sister in Christ. That's where we usually get into that stuff. Can you imagine brothers and sisters in a family being jealous of each other when they all have different gifts? It doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. God's not going to judge you on what they're doing. He's going to judge you on what you're doing. Do I hear an amen? Let's stand before the Lord.